and Shabbat Shalom to all our listeners. Welcome to the Jewish Experience. And so launched Pittsburgh's great new addition to our city's renaissance, and Jewish Radio was born. Hi, I'm your host, Hirsch DeLynn. In the past year, we've continued to refine and grow your program according to your requests. We added Shabbos recipes, Jewish history, a special segment for women, a commentary, and a special interview segment for newsmakers of interest to the Pittsburgh Jewish community. And over the past year, Rabbis Goldwasser and Eisen have taken time out of their busy schedules to reveal their special brand of Torah. Reb Moshe Bakar has worked hard to choose your music each week. Chef Chaim Reisner cooks up a winner every week. Ms. Deborah DeLynn provides special insight and wit to issues facing women, while Dr. Michael Shulman works to help explain Judaism to non-Jews. Everyone on this program is a volunteer. Their sole motivation is to uplift the Jewish community and help make the special day of Shabbos even more special. And on our anniversary, I want to take a few moments to thank those that made this program possible. Firstly, Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, our first sponsor, who has stayed with us through the entire first year. Artistic Photography, who came on shortly after and who became the program's webmaster as well. The Guterson, Moritz, and DeLynn families, who were the first to sponsor entire programs in honor of their simchas. Murray Avenue Kosher, who also sponsored an entire program and continues to stay with us. Kramer Windows, Pinsker's Judaica, the Maislik family, First Mariner Bank, the Forward newspaper, and I hope I haven't forgotten anybody. These are the folks that have helped us keep you informed and entertained. Please be sure to keep all of them in mind when you need their services. And keep us in mind for your next Simcha. Let everyone in the community share it with you by sponsoring a program. You'll support the continuation of Jewish Radio in Pittsburgh while spreading Simcha through southwestern PA. Well, it's Parshas Bo, so while this program will highlight some past selected music from past shows, some bloopers and other special moments, we'll not forget your regular segments. Rabbi Goldwasser, Rabbi Eisen, and Dr. Michael Shulman will still be here doing their thing. We'll still have your up-to-date news fresh from Israel National Radio, your mazel tovs, and community announcements ahead in the half hour. So take a break from all your preparations. Shabbos is coming later now, so relax and enjoy the first show of the Terrible Twos, the Jewish Experience coming of age, and the Pittsburgh Steelers coming of age in this week's Super Bowl. Hey, after all, this is Parshas Bo, and the Jewish nation is coming of age as well. God brings the last three plagues on Egypt, and with the death of all the firstborn in the land, Pharaoh finally consents, and the Jewish people are cast out of Egypt and head into the unknown, relying only on the leadership of Moses and the help of the One Above. Candlelighting time this week is no later than 5:23 p.m. Now, this time, I'd turn it over to Reb Moish for his musical selections. But he's on vacation this week, and he thought he'd get away with not being here on the anniversary. But I'm going to fix him. I'm going to find his vacation hideout, and I'm going to put him on the spot. What do you think? Here we go.
Hello.
Moish, I found you. You'd think you'd get away. Listen.
What's that?
This is your J.E. calling.
Are you trying to tell me that I am hooked up?
You are hooked up.
You've tracked me down all the way to the Pocono Mountains.
That's it. Listen, Moish, I can't tell what the next selection or the next cut will be.
I'm actually on the J.E.?
You're on the J.E. How can I be good to go or get myself through another J.E. without you?
We need to get you good to go and get you on the J.E. Okay, Hirsch, well, let's take us back to the first show. Do you remember our first show, Hirsch?
Absolutely.
Do you remember our first cut, or selection, as we call it?
Well, I'm waiting for you to tell me that.
Well, what I remember, if I remember correctly, our first selection on our very first show was Sandy's Shmueli, Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha, if I got it correct.
I think I remember that.
I want you to roll that tape, because you're all tuned in and good to go on the J.E.
Hashem besimcha, idu et Hashem besimcha, bohu lefana, birnana, birnana. Idu et Hashem besimcha, idu et Hashem besimcha, bohu lefana, birnana. Kiloitosh Hashem, Hashem amo. Benachlato lo yazo, lo yazo. Hashem Moshiach, השם הושיע, המלך יעננו ביום קוראנו. כי לא ידוש השם, השם אמור, ונחלתו לא יעזור, לא יעזור. השם הושיע, השם הושיע, המלך יעננו ביום קוראנו. עידו את השם משמחה, בואו לפניו, בלדלה, בלדלה. עידו את השם משמחה, עידו את השם משמחה, בואו לפניו, בלדלה. כי לא ידוש השם, השם אמור, ונחלתו לא יעזור, לא יעזור. השם הושיע, המלך יעננו ביום קוראנו. השם הושיע, השם הושיע, המלך יעננו ביום קוראנו. בשמחה, עידו את השם בשמחה, בואו לבנה, ברננה, ברננה. עידו את השם בשמחה, עידו את השם בשמחה, בואו לבנה, ברננה. כי לא ידוש השם, השם אבו, ונחלתו לא יעזור, לא יעזור. השם הושיע, המלך יעננו ביום קוראנו. כי לא ידוש השם, השם אמור, ונחלתו לא יעזור, לא יעזור. השם הושיע, השם הושיע, המלך יעננו ביום קוראנו. ונחלתו לא יעזור, לא יעזור. השם הושיע, השם הושיע, המלך יעננו ביום קוראנו. אוי 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 אוי.
That was a great selection from the Sandy Shmueli album, Be'ezrat Hashem.
We started last year. Purim was right around the corner. So I wanted to do something unusual. I knew many of my audience are baby boomers, people that grew up and remember the oldies. So one night around 2 a.m., I wrote the Baby Boomers Megillah. Here's a few choice cuts from that skit with myself and Yaakov Gutterson that everybody enjoyed. And now it's the time you've all been waiting for. It's time for the Baby Boomers Megillah.
Come gather around Yidden, wherever you are, to hear the tale of Mordechai and Esther, a tale that is told both near and far, about a time the Jews were in danger. So listen close, wherever you are, 'cause the Megillah is unrolling. Vashti won't come, and I don't care. Vashti won't come, and I don't care. I searched the world over, and I thought I found true love. But you found another, and you was gone. There she goes, just a-walking down the street, singing do-wa-di-di-di-di-dum-di-di-day. Choose me, choose me. take your scepter out and say you'll choose me, choose me. I wanna be free, like my fellow Yidden before me. Bad Haman, big bad Haman. When you're alone and all the people are bowing, you can really fell, bow down. Listen, do-a-do, do you want to know a secret? Do-a-do, do you promise not to tell? Whoa, whoa, closer. Do-a-do, let me whisper in your ear. Do-a-do, say the words you long to hear. Return to sender, address unknown. No such number, and no such phone. War! Good God, y'all. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again. War! Whoa, 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 whoa. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Imagine me and you. I do. I think about you day and night. It's only right to think about the God they love and hold them tight. So happy together. Ain't no river wide enough. Ain't no valley low enough. Ain't no mountain high enough to keep me from getting to the king, babe. What you want? Baby, I got it. What you need? You know I got it. All I need is a little respect for me, just a little bit. Come on, baby, just a little bit. Mother-in-law, 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 mother-in-law. Do-do-do-do-do-do, the worst person I know. Mother-in-law, mother-in-law. Who's in the evil plan? Haman, 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 Haman. Who's in the evil plan? Haman, 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 Haman. So Haman says, oh, yes. I'm the great pretender, ooh, pretending that I'm doing well. Who's in the palace? Mort, 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 Mort. Who's in the palace? Mort, 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 Mort.
This year I'm going to even do something more interesting for Purim, but I'm not going to tell you. You'll have to stay tuned when Purim comes around. And now here's Rabbi Meir Goldwasser to remind us it's not the physical that's important, but the spiritual. Rabbi?
Thank you, Hirsch and Mazel Tov. I remember just over a year ago when you first presented the idea to have this program. Today is certainly a milestone in our history. Your experience and background in broadcasting certainly has played a big role in making our program the well-rounded, interesting one that it is. In this week's Torah portion, we read about the final plagues that took place in Egypt and Hashem's instruction on how we were to make sacrifice. For hundreds of years, the Jews had been enslaved by a powerful nation, which had imposed its dominion on all surrounding nations, not merely by brute force, but by its overwhelming preponderance in science and technology, and everything which we call culture and civilization. The civilization of the Egyptians was based on the forces of nature and natural phenomena, especially the Nile River. Rain is scarce in Egypt, but human ingenuity had devised an elaborate irrigation system which had turned Egypt into a flourishing oasis, surrounded by desert. This circumstance produced an idolatrous culture, which was characterized by two main features: the deification of the forces of nature and the deification of the powers of man who was able to use natural forces for his own ends. Moses' intervention was dramatic. The activities of the Egyptians reached their climax at the time of annual reawakening of the forces of nature in the month of spring, for which the zodiac sign was the ram, a sacred symbol of Egyptian paganism. Moshe's intervention was dramatic. Suddenly, he arrived with the announcement from Hashem, I have surely remembered you. Now was the time when Hashem came to liberate the Jewish people. But there was one condition. Withdraw, take for yourselves a lamb. Take the symbol of the Egyptian deity and offer it as a sacrifice to Hashem. It was not enough to deny idolatry inwardly in their hearts. They had to do it openly, without fear, and in accordance with all the details they had been commanded. If it were done, Moshe assured in the name of Hashem, not only would they be freed from Egypt, but Paro himself would urge them to leave. And not when the forces of nature were dormant and concealed, but in the month of spring, when they were at the height of their powers. This received its highest expression in the giving of the Torah. The gods of Egypt have their descendants. There are those today who base their lives on the deification of the forces of nature, and who will say, "My power and the strength of my hand have made me this wealth." And there are those who will leave room for Hashem in their homes while forsaking him outside for the sake of social norms. But comes our Sedra with the very important message, withdraw from the idolatry of the land in whatever form it is disguised. Do so openly without fear and with dignity.
All around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time. And it's a comfort to know in your time of need that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947 and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association and work closely with area rabbis to ensure that your needs as a Jewish family are totally met. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. I personally met with Michael Hilgefort. And did you know that Burton Hirsch Funeral Home is even involved with community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? In your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, Burton Hirsch, at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600. They welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience, 412-521-2600. 521-2600. By the way, if you're over 62 and you own your own home, find out how you can get money from your home without having to ever pay it back as long as you live in that home. Call 412-562-2220. Get tax-free money now by calling 412-562-2220 to participate in a government-sponsored home equity conversion. First Mariner Bank, an equal opportunity lender. I don't have to tell you, utility rates are expected to rise this winter, and it's not too late to save money by reducing your utility bills by installing new energy-saving windows. Call Kramer Windows, your neighborhood window contractor, with many business and residential references in the Jewish community. I've known Ed for many years, and the people that have benefited by his windows rave about the money they save due to the high cost of energy today and the great service Ed provides. Ed Kramer says, do a room or do the whole house. You'll be pleasantly surprised at the impact new energy-saving windows will make on your utility bills. And guess what? He offers free estimates. He says, our low overhead means the best prices anywhere. Call Ed today at 412-848-2262 to schedule a visit. That's 412-848-2262. Do it today before your next utility bill makes you wish you did it today. That's 412-848-2262. Ed Kramer, Kramer Windows. We make each week's program look so simple. But now, I want to take you backstage for a moment just to let you know it's not so easy, but it can be fun.
All right, it's on with the music and a little... And now here's Dr. Michael Shulman from the Boom. And now... That's funny. All right, it's on with the music and a little broom. That's funny. That was.
As we look back to our own young history, let's pause for a moment to visit the author of Miraculous Journey, a history of the Jewish people, for the second part of his award-winning history of Jewish immigration. Rabbi?
Immigration to America, Part 2, The Trip on Land. For the Jews, it was an arduous journey to reach the ports of Western Europe, where they would board ships to cross the Atlantic Ocean. As the Russian government restricted passports, Jews had to cross the border into Germany illegally. These crossings entailed bribing professional smugglers to help them, and it was both expensive and risky, for frequently the smugglers were corrupt. The Jews crossed Germany by train, hoping not to be caught by officials or swindled by scoundrels who took advantage of their unfamiliarity with their surroundings. Later, the land trip became easier due to the efforts of German Jews to help the travelers. The sea voyage. The Atlantic crossing, which took from 1 to 2 weeks, was a harrowing experience. Greedy ship owners treated immigrants like so much freight. Sleeping quarters in steerage class, the lowest, were compartments holding 300 or more persons. Berths, 6 feet 2 inches long, were in 2 tiers, with 2.5 feet above each berth, separated only by iron pipes. The iron framework held a mattress and pillow stuffed with straw or seaweed. The blanket was usually so flimsy that passengers had to sleep in their clothing to keep warm. Stewards never changed or cleaned the berths, even when voyages lasted 16 days or more. All personal belongings, such as pots, pans, and clothing, had to be kept in the berth as there was no room on the floor. The immigrants lined up for their food and ate it in their berths, for there was no dining room. Since no waste barrels were supplied, the steerage floor was always damp and filthy, and the air stank beyond endurance. In the description of one of the immigrants, "On the first day I went to the mess counter for food and was handed a chunk of white bread and herring, which I took to my bunk. I bit into the bread. It tasted like chalk. The herring stunk. I threw it all away. The following day we did not need food. In fact, we seemed to have plenty to give up. It was stormy and the boat rocked and shook. I kept tossing about. I stuck my head out of the bunk a little. A shower of vomit came down from the upper bunk on my face. There was no privacy. Men, women, and children were all mixed together. Our greatest suffering was due to a scarcity of water. We all provided ourselves with a tin can to hold the water distributed every evening. It was all you could get until the following evening. One day I ate a piece of herring. Soon after, I drank all the water I had. The same evening, I was burning up with thirst. There were 8 toilets and 8 wash basins for 200 people. The toilet seats were always wet, and water often stood inches deep on the floor. A thorough washing of the body or even part of it was out of the question. There were no bathtubs. All this meant that the steerage passenger arrived at journey's end with a mind unfit for healthy, wholesome impressions, and with a body weakened and unfit for the hardships that are involved in the beginning of life in a new land."
Now, from the largest independent news organization in the Middle East, here's Ernie Singer with Israel National News.
The German kidnap victim abducted by Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade terrorist in Shem on Thursday says he does not believe his attackers represent local Arabs. 21-year-old Christoph Kosten was freed in good condition a short time after he was yanked out of a restaurant at the Yasmin Hotel, and his kidnappers were arrested by PLO police. The volunteer English teacher said he was not angry and would continue to help area Arabs. Senior Hamas leader Mahmoud Azahar meeting with Gaza's Latin bishop Manuel Musallam to confirm that the Islamic organization would provide protection for the entire Christian community in the coastal territory as gunmen from across the PLO-assigned areas threatened violence and demanded an apology for caricatures of the Prophet Muhammad that have appeared in European newspapers. The gesture seen as one of a myriad of attempts by the terrorist organization to assert its control and gain legitimacy after winning a landslide victory in the recent PLO legislative elections, beating out PLO chairman Mahmoud Abbas's leading Fatah party. Terrorists from Hamas have blown up a home of senior Fatah official Suleiman Abu Mutlaq, the first attack on a leader of what is now the opposition party in the PLO since the election. Mutlaq, a former security chief in Khan Yunis in the Gaza Strip, called it an assassination attempt against him. Hamas activists involved in launching Qassam rockets from the Gaza Strip at Israel after the organization's victory in the elections, according to intelligence received by the defense establishment. The Hamas participation in the attack runs counter to its present stated policy of adhering to the Tahadiyya or temporary calm in the PLO-assigned areas, especially after winning the elections. The intelligence presented Thursday in a situation evaluation held by Defense Minister Shaul Mofaz with senior Army, Shin Bet General Security Service, and police officers. Mofaz said the rockets were fired together with Fatah and Islamic Jihad activists. Security sources suggested these were rogue activists who took part in the attack because of their personal acquaintance with the other organization's members without the approval of Hamas's leadership. On Sunday, the defense establishment is expected to advise acting Prime Minister Ehud Olmert to transfer 250 million shekels in tax revenues to the PLO, frozen following the Hamas win in the elections. The Prime Minister's office said Olmert has not yet decided on the issue and is not enthusiastic about transferring the money. However, a senior government official said Foreign Minister Tzipi Livni might change her mind about the transfer after Israel winning widespread international support for its demand that Hamas change its stand on Israel as a condition for recognition of its government. Livni advised last week to hold off on the transfer until the position of the international community became clear. Livni also realizing after her visit to Egypt that it would take several weeks for a new PLO government to actually be formed. Defense Minister Mofaz remains in favor of unfreezing the money. Mofaz feels holding the money up will result in a collapse of the PLO, which will lead to additional terrorism and anarchy. The city's action committee, holding a town hall meeting Saturday night at the Jerusalem Gold Hotel, demanding a national board of inquiry be established into the Amona pogrom, the demolition of buildings in the Samaria neighborhood near Ofra, north of Jerusalem. Organizers demanding a commission of inquiry into the decision-making process that led to the expulsion, as well as the orders permitting police to use unjustifiable force against unarmed youths who opposed the eviction. Some 200 people, including youths and security forces, were injured in the day's events. A massive rally to protest the police brutality Sunday night at the city's Zion Square. Internal Security Minister Gideon Ezra has told the Jerusalem Post that three neighborhoods in the Itzhar region south of Shechem are next in line. He did not provide the names of the outposts or details of when they would be evacuated. Analysts report that former Labor Prime Minister Ehud Barak is setting the stage to challenge Amir Peretz for the party leadership position should Peretz fail to deliver the goods in the March 28th Knesset elections. Close associates of Likud chairman Benjamin Netanyahu are examining the possibility of merging with the National Religious Party to form a joint right-wing list that would run in the elections. Yedidya Atlas, senior correspondent Farut Sheva, lays out a plan to crush the front-running Kadima party in the upcoming elections. Hear the plan on the Tovia Singer Show on the internet at IsraelNationalRadio.com. Shabbat is Vava, the sixth day of Shvat on the Jewish calendar, and the weather forecast, occasional rain and isolated thunderstorms weakening Friday night and ending Shabbat afternoon, with flooding expected in the east and south. Significantly colder through Shabbat, with clear to partly cloudy skies and an upswing in temperatures on Sunday and Monday. In Jerusalem and the Golan Heights on Friday, 12 degrees centigrade, 54 Fahrenheit. Ernie Singer, Israel National Radio.
And as always, we want to wish our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land a very peaceful and restful Shabbat. And as we celebrate our birthday, we've got other simchas going on in the community. Rabbi and Mrs. Zeitz on the engagement of their son Mordechai. Mr. and Mrs. Micha Kinderlehrer on the birth of a baby boy. Mr. and Mrs. Mitchell Small on the engagement of their son Dovey. And Dr. and Mrs. Dean Pollack on the birth of a grandson. And taking a look at events around the community, on March 3rd, Shabbat Across America Celebration Dinner will be happening at various synagogues around the community. Starts at 7 p.m. on a Friday night. Please contact your local synagogue for more information. Some synagogues are participating and some are not. The Worldwide Rap and Ben Yehuda Street Fair at Beth Shalom Synagogue is February 5th from 9 to 11. You can learn to put on tefillin. 11 to 1 is the fair with food, fun, and Israeli dancing. Join UJF volunteers to raise money for local Israel and overseas needs. Fun Fest 2006. To volunteer, call Carrie Frischman at 412-992-5231. The Judaic Library at Lubavitch Center is open to the public on Sundays 12 to 4:30 p.m., Wednesdays 3 to 4 and 7 to 8 p.m., and 1 hour after Shabbos for 2 hours. Stop in and check out a book or two, and you can use the extensive research volumes that they have available. The Alvin Weinberg Father and Son Learning Program at the Pittsburgh Kollel this Shabbos, and the next Shabbos they're going to be wrapping it up, so you got two more to go to. Starts at 7:30 p.m. for boys in grades 1 through 8, pizza and prizes, and again, they ask you to use the rear entrance. The meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous meets at the Aleph Institute every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. The program is a recovery group for people who cannot control their eating and or their weight. For more information, call Ilana at 412-422-2224. And don't forget the Yeshiva Girls High School production Shalom Song, an inspiring story of hope and determination, March 6th and 7th, and the doors open at 7 p.m. For ticket information, call 412-422-7300, extension 1311. If you'd like to have your Mazel Tovs on our program, please call 412-979-5770, or you can email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. And don't forget, candlelighting time this week is no later than 5:23 p.m. Over the past year, you've been treated to my commentaries and also my interviews with selected newsmakers. Here are some highlights from those that received the greatest responses, some favorable and some critical.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you a short word. Usually, Mom has the words for everything, but this time I'll give a quick word on Pesach. You know, everything that happens has a physical and a spiritual connotation, right?
Right.
Yeah. Same thing with Pesach. Pesach has the idea, the main theme of Pesach is going out of Egypt. The word Egypt also has the connotation of limitations.
Becoming more observant prompted me to look for another job where I could be Shomer Shabbos. Now, for example, at Allegheny General, we've been fortunate enough to establish a Shomer Shabbos track for interns.
When I finally decided that I really wanted to commit myself to an observant life, it was so easy. First of all, I talked to all the people that with whom I work on Saturdays and said, I am not going to be teaching anymore on Saturdays. Could you bring the kids on some other days? And all of them, and I'm talking about 30 people, they said, sure, when do you want them? Like Sundays during the weekdays? So that part was extremely easy.
It was tough. I turned down one job with the AP Bureau in Pittsburgh because they couldn't guarantee that I would not have to work on Shabbos. And It was difficult because we were wanting to move to Pittsburgh from Austin, Texas, and it was another year before we were able to make the move up here, and another year after that before I hooked on with the Post-Gazette.
Well, of course, I've been a surfer for, let's see, this will be my 42nd year of being a surfer at Malibu Beach, California. I never in my wildest dream would have imagined becoming an Orthodox Jew. I'm what's known as a Baal Tshuva for the last 20 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it was, people ask me the question all the time, well, what started you out? And I could always say surfing. Surfing has got to be the most beautiful, awesome way of connecting with Hashem, other than, of course, you know, learning Torah.
Of course, other than motorcycle riding.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Harley rider, I imagine it's the same thrill. Bottom line is it's called Hakara Sabore in Hebrew.
Right.
It's understanding Hashem and his marvelous works of nature through actually doing it, being out in the water, surfing 20-foot waves, which I did for years in Hawaii, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
All these things led me on my spiritual search to ultimately go back to where I should have been at the beginning, which was being connected with Hashem and mitzvot and that sort of thing.
Well, I sort of changed careers in midstream and got into filmmaking a few years ago. And when I moved to Pittsburgh from Boston, I looked around for a new project, and it occurred to me that, you know, there's really nothing out there for Jewish children,
really?
Certainly beyond the age of five. And having a family myself and knowing how tough it is to find good, solid Jewish entertainment, I set out to make my own, and Agent Emmis was the result.
The Sharon government has come up with what they call a disengagement plan, which is actually just a New York Times euphemism. It's really an expulsion plan.
Mm-hmm.
And the notion is to move out all the residents that have lived there, many for over 30 years. There's about 10,000 people there now and more coming all the time in support of the residents there.
Mm-hmm.
They're very, very well-established communities. There's 21 of them in the Gush Katif area, which is a coastal region along the Mediterranean Sea. And they're beautiful, well-planned, productive, thriving communities with an annual output of produce of $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
They produce 95% of Israel's bug-free lettuce, 70% of its organic lettuce, 60% of the best cherry tomatoes you ever ate,
wow.
And 60% of its geraniums are exported to Europe. not to mention the Katif Farms, which have 800 cows, which is the second largest operation in all of Israel. So economically, I don't know why the government thinks this is a... Well, I know the government doesn't think it's a good idea, but perhaps because of pressure from America and Europe and tragically from the pressure from the Palestinian terror.
My name is Effie Biran. I'm basically a shaliach in a major city called Ramat Gan, which is bordered with Tel Aviv. That's my job. But since this plan came up and came forward and forward until Mamash, we have only 2 weeks left to do whatever we can to save Jewish lives. I just Mamash had to do an action, and I moved over there with my family and with another few other people to start and see what we can do, Mamash in action, to prevent it, how we can make the north of the Shomron a better place, a stronger place, a place of Torah, a place the children can play, and a place that can save and guard lots of millions of Jews all over Israel.
Well, I do a lot of creative things aside from lifting weights, riding my bike, and running, and martial arts. And I'm a writer, I'm a painter, I'm a thinker. I learn with my son every day. And the main motive behind this book is that I really believe that there's a craving in the Jewish community as a whole for a Jewish action hero.
Well, we're actually focusing right now on two very important things, being that so soon after the disaster, and there are still many people stuck in New Orleans. We have search and rescue teams on the ground in New Orleans that are in direct communication with Chabad. And we are giving them names and addresses, and they have been going to homes and getting people out.
Right.
Yesterday we rescued 32 people.
Wow.
Today a whole bunch more, and we are running out of time because, you know,
sure,
a couple more days and people won't make it.
I took LL on a flight, and they decided to make my adventure a little more adventurous. So they left my bags in Cyprus.
That was exciting.
And I showed up in Ben Gurion Airport with no clothes. And I was really upset, and about an hour later, at 4 a.m., because the flight was 3 hours late to boot, I left the airport, but I wasn't upset anymore because I realized that I said, obviously, God doesn't want me to have these bags. So I left the airport feeling good. It took about 4 hours to sneak into Gaza, past three checkpoints, some of which were harder than others. And I got there, borrowed some underwear from a guy I just met, and I had quite an adventure.
Initially, they were a front organization for Christian missionizing faith groups who ever for the past 2,000 years have been trying more than anything else to get the Jews. Because they feel to convert one Jew is worth more than to convert 10,000 pagans.
I think it puts us in a position where the state of Israel has finally been able to say, we've done what we can in order to allow you the last chance to go ahead and prove yourself. And it's a situation of put up or shut up. Either they're going to go ahead now and really come through and going to show good intentions and real intent for peace, or if not, then we have to totally separate.
See, that's where I would disagree. I would say they showed absolutely no ability to do that at any time.
We have the elections coming up. We're going to see how they're going to work.
Next, here's Ms. Devorah DeLynn with a special segment on the importance of celebrating anniversaries like we're doing today. Devorah?
Try to guess it. It's something you do every year on the same day. You get your family members together, you give tzedakah, charity, and here's the last clue. You have a party and a cake. Yep, you got it. It's your birthday. At the request of one of our listeners, and because it's our anniversary, I will be discussing the importance and spiritual meaning of a Jewish birthday. Why do you celebrate your birthday? In your mother's womb, you were comfortable, warm, and cared for. Then you left. It was an ordeal, a trauma. The world you entered was cold and harsh. The mere act of living became a struggle. You cried. Yet every year you celebrate that day. Because the day you were born was the day you became your own entity. No longer an extension of somebody else, you became a proactive force in the world. I once heard an excellent quote that explains things in a nutshell. Birth is God saying that the world cannot go on without you. It's the day your soul's mission is about to begin. Hashem created your soul, and your birthday is the day that He decreed it would begin carrying out the purpose for which it was created. A Jewish birthday is, of course, the day you were born according to the Jewish calendar, which follows the lunar cycle. To make a birthday truly Jewish, people usually get together with family and friends, have a party, give charity, make resolutions that they do, or at least try to keep, say their new chapter of Psalms that corresponds to their age, and give over inspiring words of Torah. Birthdays are really fun, but it's important to remember that they are also a personal time. The birthday is a time for meditation over the past year and pondering on how the commitment to Hashem has grown and how to strengthen it even more. On the Lubavitch Rebbe's 90th birthday, he said that the mission of every Jew is to endeavor to be righteous and make the world a better place. Our sages tell us that on a person's birthday, their mazel, or good fortune, is stronger. This gives them the power to complete more good deeds that have a greater influence than on the other days of the year. For example, your birthday is a great time to perform acts of kindness because they give God great pleasure. He sees that the child in whom he invested, the particular child he wanted to be born on a particular day, is living up to its potential. And nothing, of course, gives a parent greater joy. This is the true experience of birth, the true beginning of a life of meaning. Because time itself is like a spiral, something special happens on your birthday each year. The same energy that God invested in you at birth is present once again on your birthday. It is our duty to be receptive to that force. How do we do so? By committing to a life guided by God's will and by using the abilities and resources we were born with to perfect ourselves in society and to make the world a good and sacred home for Hashem. On a personal level, I can relate to this. 2 weeks ago, on Yod Tes Teves, another year was added to my life. Another year that will hopefully result in successes, learning, and striving for the ultimate, the coming of Mashiach. I thought about how things change all the time. Why, just last year, I never dreamed I would be on the radio. In fact, the Jewish Experience Radio didn't even exist. This thought really provoked me. So much can happen in the time span of just 1 year. Hashem gives us the tools, but it's really up to us to make the most of it and not let it go by without us. So on your birthday, don't just look at the presents, trying to find that new nanopod. Think about why you are here and try to remember, yes, I was born, but what really happened? This segment is in honor of a really good friend whose birthday was last week on Chaf Vav Teves. Mazel Tov.
Out of all the music we played last year, we received more comments about this next one. Some of you loved it, and some of you didn't. Well, here we go.
Okay, we need to get tapping here. Let's do the Macha Shefa. Hirsch, do you know what Macha Shefa is?
Sounds like somebody's a big Macha. I don't know.
I'm not sure myself, but it's in English, it's in Yiddish, and it's in... Let's
listen to the big Macha.
Let's go.
I'm a witch. Which way did I come in? When I'm not around, they call me Macha Shefa. I run up the bill that my husband has to pay for. Nobody wants me, they all know me. I don't go to Simchas, cause they'll wanna stone me. I'm no schlepper, I like to chepper. I weave my magic, for I'm a Macha Shefa. Oh, what a klala, my little Macha Shefa. Nothing she does is derech a teva. She'll never help you or do you a favor. Oh, Macha Shefa. Jeder zoekt dat die is een machasheve. Jeder wünscht zal die liggen in kever. Kei in dret, toen men is geen teve. Hoi, machasheve. On Pesach I love to eat the mara, and when I talk it's Lashon Hara. I'm a shvigger, go figure. I love to bark like a canine horror. Now come on, what am I supposed to do? She's your mother! My mother is nothing like that! There's no broom to think! Jeder weint, dass sie ist am Chashefer. Sie fress nur kosher, sie ist ein Treffer. Wenn sie kommt, kommt immer Gefer. Hoi, Chashefer! Oh, My little Machasheva, nothing she does is derechateva. She'll never help you, do you a favor. Hi, Machasheva. Jeder weint, dass sie ist der Machasheva. Sie fresst nur kosher, aber sie ist der Treffer. Nur das fällt mir euch, ein Stickel, mein Gefer. Hi, Machasheva. Her efforts at Sholem Bayis hardly exist. It's less than a gazayis. At the sisterhood, she's up to no good. If it does damage, she'll certainly try it. Oy, von der Klolle, my little Machasheva. Nothing she does is derech a teva. She'll never help you or do you a favor. Oy, Machasheva. Jeder weint, dass sie ist der Machasheva. Sie fress nur kosher, aber sie ist der Treffer. Und du spelt mir euch ein Stickel Magefa. Oy, Machasheva. Jeder weint, dass sie ist der Machasheva. Sie fress nur kosher, aber sie ist der Treffer. Und du spelt mir euch ein Stickel Magefa. Oy, Machasheva.
Now here's Dr. Michael Shulman of AskNoah.org with his take on the importance of birthdays.
The Lubavitcher Rebbe stressed the importance of birthday celebrations. He urged all people to make an appropriate gathering of family and friends on their birthday and to actualize its spiritual potential. When you celebrate your birthday, you should publicize three good customs for birthdays: to give more charity, to learn more Torah, and to intensify your divine service of prayer. The sages taught that these are the three pillars that the world stands on, and you can use this time to motivate the others to increase in observing the seven commandments of Noah. What is this celebration all about? You should rejoice and give thanks and praise to God for giving you life in order to serve Him through observing commandments. The Midrash relates, most people cherish the day on which they were born and make a party on that day. So make a happy gathering and take on good resolutions, and the power of your birthday, when your mazel is strong, will help guarantee success. Children especially should be taught the spiritual importance of a birthday, and they should celebrate their birthdays with their friends in a way that will increase their knowledge and observance of the seven laws of Noah. Small children will be even more impressed by this suggestion and will be very enthusiastic in carrying it out. This is especially relevant when a boy reaches his 13th birthday or a girl reaches her 12th birthday, since that is the age of maturity and they become responsible for following God's will. Here are seven customs for making the most of your birthday. 1. Give some additional charity before praying. 2. Put more time, concentration, and effort into your prayers, meditating on the greatness of the Creator. 3. Read the psalm which corresponds to the new year you are entering, and continue to say this every day. For example, when a person turns 13, he begins reciting Psalm 14. 4. In addition to your regular study schedule, learn an extra lesson of Torah and Hasidic teachings, especially something that explains the seven commandments of Noah, which relate to all people. 5. Seclude yourself for a while and review your conduct for the past year and your life history to honestly see what needs repentance or improvement and make good resolutions for the future. 6. Since it is proper to accept a new aspect of religious observance on Rosh Hashanah, the birthday of Adam and Chava, one may deduce from this that on an individual's personal Rosh Hashanah, his birthday, the same should apply. So, accept upon yourself to do some new acts of goodness and kindness, and to more carefully observe some aspect of your own commandments, making sure that your goals are realistic. 7. Make a joyful party with your family and friends, give praise and thanks to God, and thank Him for your food before eating and after. And finally, don't forget to make a visit to AskNoah.org and encourage others to do the same. May our good actions on our birthdays help to speedily bring the ultimate true redemption.
I don't have to tell you, utility rates are expected to rise this winter, and it's not too late to save money by reducing your utility bills by installing new energy-saving windows. Call Kramer Windows, your neighborhood window contractor, with many business and residential references in the Jewish community. I've known Ed for many years, and the people that have benefited by his windows rave about the money they save due to the high cost of energy today and the great service Ed provides. Ed Kramer says, do a room or do the whole house. You'll be pleasantly surprised at the impact new energy-saving windows will make on your utility bills. And guess what? He offers free estimates. He says, our low overhead means the best prices anywhere. Call Ed today at 412-848-2262 to schedule a visit. That's 412-848-2262.
2262. Do it today before your next utility bill makes you wish you did it today. That's 412-848-2262. Ed Kramer, Kramer Windows. By the way, if you're over 62 and you own your own home, find out how you can get money from your home without having to ever pay it back as long as you live in that home. Call 412-562-2220. Get tax-free money now by calling 412-562-2220 to participate in a government-sponsored home equity conversion. First Mariner Bank, an equal opportunity lender. Now Rabbi Goldwasser is back with another classic story. Rabbi?
Less than a week after the tzaddik, Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, went to serve as chief rabbi there, three men knocked on his door to ask him to decide a question of Jewish law between them. It would be his very first case as rabbinical judge in his new position. A wealthy merchant from the nearby town had brought several barrels filled with honey to sell at the big fair in Berdichev. Unfortunately, just then, the price of honey dropped sharply. Not wanting to suffer a loss on his investment, he asked an acquaintance to store the honey for him until the price rose again. The two were old friends, and the local man was happy to oblige. Knowing each other to be completely honest, they didn't write down anything of their agreement or call in witnesses. Time went by. The price of honey remained low, so the barrels remained in their Berdichev cellar untouched and unnoticed. More time went by. The man on whose property the honey was stored passed away. Everything happened so quickly, he never had a chance to explain to his family anything about the state of his affairs. More time passed. The price of honey finally began to slowly climb. When the increase became significant, the owner of the barrel showed up at his deceased friend's house and claimed his honey from the sons who had inherited and taken over their father's business. They, however, having heard nothing about it from their father, refused to honor the merchant's claim. After some discussion, they decided to proceed to the rabbinical court to present the case before the new rabbi. Rav Levi Yitzchak listened to the litigants carefully, even though the law in such a case was clear. Of course, he would have to rule against the out-of-town merchant. Even if there had been witnesses or a signed document, Torah law stipulates that no claims against orphans can be collected without first swearing an oath as to the validity of one's claim. And here there were neither documents nor witnesses. Nevertheless, Rav Levi Yitzchak hesitated to pronounce his verdict and finalize the case. The other thought that made him uncomfortable was, why did Hashem arrange it so that his very first ruling in this town would be considered bizarre by the entire populace? After all, the out-of-town merchant was well known to everyone in town as a scrupulously honest man and as such immune to monetary pressures. Furthermore, everyone knew that the merchant and the deceased were old friends who trusted each other implicitly, never resorting to documents or witnesses in their transactions. Surely the entire town would be paying attention to the first ruling handed down by their new rabbi. Everyone was sure to wonder, why should the law of the Torah be so opposite to common sense? Why me and why now? Thought Rav Levi Yitzchak to himself. He couldn't bring himself to issue the verdict just yet. Turning aside to a corner of the room, he poured forth in silent prayer his frustration, beseeching Hashem to enlighten him with understanding. Suddenly, the owner of the honey jumped off his seat as if struck by a bolt of lightning and exclaimed, "I remember! I remember! Honored Rabbi, please forgive me," he called out excitedly. "While waiting here, I had the most amazing realization. An old memory, which I haven't thought about in many years, just flashed through my mind. I'm talking about something that happened 50 years ago when I was just a young lad. Our father died suddenly, leaving us a large inheritance in cash and possessions. Included in this was a storage room filled with casks of wine and oil. One day, the father of these two young men came to our home. He claimed that the wine and oil were his, that he had stored it with our father for safekeeping. My brothers and I were still quite young then and had never been involved in any of our father's business affairs. We had no idea what we were supposed to do, but we were reluctant to give up the merchandise just like that. We all went to the rabbi of the town and presented our case. What I just realized is that the money we received for that wine and oil from these people's father is exactly equal to the value of my honey, which is now in the possession of the sons of the departed friend. Now all was clear to Rav Levi Yitzchok. Divine Providence had presented him this case so early in his tenure to teach him an important lesson. Not always is what seems obvious and true to human eyes necessarily the truth or even fair. Absolute truth resides only with the laws of the Torah. Hashem's ledger is always open, and all accounts are forever being reckoned and balanced. Some may take 50 years of resolutions, others more, others less. What is guaranteed is that the Master of the Universe constantly oversees to be sure that justice is done. This is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, wishing you all a good Shabbos.
And a few reminders around the community. On March 3rd, Shabbat Across America dinner at 7 p.m. You can contact your local synagogue for more information. Worldwide Rap and Ben Yehuda Street Fair at Beth Shalom Synagogue, February 5th. You can call them for more information. And UJF Fun Fest, Carrie Frischman, 412-992-5231. Judaic Library at Lubavitch Center, call them at 412-422-7300. Yavin Weinberg Father and Son Learning Program, call the Kolo, 412-420-0220. Meeting of Food Addicts in Recovery, call Ilana, 412-422-2224. Don't forget to call us at 412-979-5770 if you want to have your Mazel Tovs on our program, or you can always email us at jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. And so ends our special anniversary program. Thanks so much to Rabbis Goldwasser and Eisen for their exclusive and insightful commentaries throughout the year. Musical Master Moshe Pekar, my co-host and the guy that always gets us through and is always good to go. Chef Chaim Reisner for somehow finding something new to cook every week. Ms. Deborah DeLynn, with all her activities, finds time to research and produce a real professional segment on women's issues. And finally, Dr. Michael Shulman for coordinating the special segments. And of course, without Rabbi Mordechai Saxon, you wouldn't be able to hear archived programs at JewishExperienceRadio.com. Finally, it all comes together through the magic of our engineer, Jeremy Bossy. It's a real team effort on this show. We wanted you to continue to listen and let us know how we can make it even better. And don't forget, candlelighting time this week is 5:23 p.m. As always, I'm Hirsch DeLynn. Have a wonderful and restful Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom.